you know, mm-hmm. being here at the house all the time. I've done so many different things, and golf seems to be the only thing that I have actually stuck with and have stayed consistent with. And
welcome to Out the Trap, a podcast that's all about Black folks in the game of golf. Tune in every Monday as I talk with Black folks from all walks of life who are passionate about this crazy game. His stories from the weekend golfer to the innovators of Black-owned golf companies and everyone in between. My name is Anthony McNeil, certified golf junkie and your host. Let's get ready to tee off. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 4 of Out the Trap. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another fantastic guest joining me on the podcast today. This young lady is a mother. She's a wife. She's an amateur golfer. She's been golfing since 2020. She's also the NorCal long distance champ, which I am really curious to find out about since she's been golfing since 2020. From the state of California, please help me welcome Miss Jessica, and I know I'm going to mess this up, Maceda.
Maceda.
I told you I'm awful with names. I apologize. Miss Jessica Maceda. Okay. Jessica, thank you for joining me on the podcast. How are you?
Good. Great. Thanks for having me.
For sure. Before we get into all the golf stuff, I want to give the listener a chance to find out who you are. So can you please tell me a little bit about who Jessica is?
All right. So like you said before, I'm a mother of 3 and I am married and I live in Rose Hill, California. I kind of just been the last 12 years a housewife into many different things. I've coached basketball. I played basketball in college. So okay. That's why I coach. I coached at a couple high schools and, you know, I homeschool my kids. Nothing like terribly exciting, just a normal life.
You said quite a bit there, so let's unpack some of that. First of all, how old are your kids?
My oldest will be 13 in January, and then I have an 11-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old daughter, and the almost 13-year-old is my son.
That's great. Yeah. I have 2 daughters. They're both grown now, 25 or 26 and 22. So,
oh man. Yeah. I mean, that seems like those seem like great ages. Less parity.
Yeah. They grow up fast. Trust me.
Oh, that's what they say.
How long you guys been married?
We got married 5 days before my son was born.
Okay.
We were engaged before I got pregnant, but then everything kind of jumped the gun and had a baby and got married. We were like, I guess we should do this before this baby comes, and went to the courthouse and made it official. But we've been together for 18 years.
How'd you guys meet?
In Hawaii, actually.
Really?
It was, yeah, we're both from California. He's from NorCal. I'm from Southern California originally. But we went there after we graduated from high school. My mom took me and my cousin that his aunt sent him and his cousin, and we just walked down the street and saw each other, and it was kind of
love at first sight.
That was
huh?
it, you know? Yeah, pretty much.
Now, you said you played basketball in college. What school?
I went to Sac State for a year. Kind of chose that school because by the time I got a scholarship, I was kind of over basketball.
Okay.
I had an injury back in high school where I dislocated my shoulder a lot my sophomore year and took off a little bit of, I think, the rest of my sophomore year and started back again my junior year.
Okay.
But by that time, I just was like, you know, having a major injury, I kind of became disenchanted. Like, I'm an athlete and I love performing, but, you know, there's kind of like this side of athletics that people don't really talk about too much, where coaches will run you into the ground sometimes if you don't have a good coach, mm-hmm. and your well-being isn't always priority. So I kind of ran into that, and, you know, I thought I'd give a year of college a shot and ended up with a coach that was kind of similar and didn't really care, you know, about me as a person.
Yeah. Was that the only sport you played?
I mean, I played a lot of different sports when I was younger, but basketball was the most serious.
Okay.
The one that I was the most serious about. Yeah.
What position?
I was down in the post. I was kind of our sitter. I'm undersized. You know, by the time I got to college, I was undersized. I'm 5'10", 5'11". Okay. Yeah. So by the time I got to college, oh my goodness. I mean, if you would have seen me, I looked like I had black eyes, busted lips, because I don't shy away. And I was at the perfect height for elbows to my face. And you play against some people you know in high school that don't like you, and they'll definitely make sure that, you know, you get beat.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you mentioned that you homeschool your kids. Is that something you guys started in the pandemic, or was that something you've always done?
No. Yeah. So we've done that for probably about 4 years now. Just, you know, something that we thought we would do when we first had kids. But, oh my gosh, the idea of doing it was kind of challenging. So when we got started 4 years ago, there were all sorts of online charters that made it a little bit easier, helped you have access to different resources, which is doing it on my own. I don't think I would have been able to do it, but doing it with an online charter definitely made it, you know, easier.
Obviously, being home as a full-time mom, that makes it a lot easier. Do you think you would have been able to do that had you been out in the workplace?
Oh, most certainly not. I mean, I just don't see how I could work and do what I'm doing with my kids. I know there are women that, you know, probably can. Yeah. I'm just not that woman. And I honestly, I've only known this way of life, you know, since I've had my kids. I've been home with them. Funny thing is that I actually, my husband and I dropped out of school before we had kids, and we had a business, and that was in 2007. And so obviously that was the worst time to try that as a young person, but
hey, you got to try.
It made us stronger. Right. And, you know, then we had our kids and we went back to school after having kids. And my husband actually went back to school and played basketball because he still had eligibility left. So he played at his college, a D3 school, and very, very good school. But we were both in school while he was playing basketball. And that was extremely challenging, having two young kids of like a year and a half and 3 years old going to basketball games in the stands at 26 with a bunch of fans.
I couldn't even imagine.
It was crazy. And the stuff the fans would say was ridiculous.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like a challenge. That sounds like a challenge. Yeah. But hey, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. So
exactly.
All right. I want to go ahead and get to the golf because that's what everybody came here for. All right.
Right.
Now, what was your introduction to the game?
So, you know, growing up in LA, I would ride my golf courses all the time. I would go to, I don't know if you're familiar with the area, but Westchester Park, and there was a golf range there. I had no clue what it was for. So I actually knew nothing about golf until last year, October, when my husband came home and was like, let's join this country club. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, why would we join a country club? Like, I don't even, like, it just it never crossed my mind. But, you know, the pandemic hit. We had nothing to do. All the kids' activities had been shut down. So I think he was just searching for ways to keep us busy and to get us out of the house. And the country club was actually running a deal for, I guess they call it, like, young executives, people under 40. So they had a preview where you can join and not have to put money up. You could preview for a year. So I was like, you know, if this is what you want to do, I support you. You know, let's do this. We'll figure it out. And I don't think he was anticipating I would like it. I think he was thinking it was just going to be his thing.
Was he playing golf at the time?
No, he didn't even like golf. Like, I think the last he played was when he was like 12 or 13. So, you know, I mean, this is kind of our life, like just random stuff. You know, I go with the flow. So I said, let's do it. You know, I was nervous about joining because, you know, there is the stigma around country clubs. And I just was nervous. But, you know, he broke down kind of the economics of it to me. He was like, if we are golfing, you know, it's the only thing we can do. And if we do it at a public course, we're going to spend X amount of money on balls and X money on, you know, the greens fees and X amount of money on carts. So we might as well join this club because if like just the balls alone, he could hit as many balls as he liked and not have to worry about paying for it. So that's kind of how he gets me into things, is really rationalizing it and breaking it down.
During the pandemic, I guess that's an excellent way to stay outside and keep your distance from a lot of people, because you're definitely going to do that on the golf course.
Right. And we were very paranoid in the beginning. I mean, he worked for a company that had him in and out of China a lot. And actually, right before Wuhan shut down, you know, he made it back in time. He was out there and he missed the mandatory quarantine. So, you know, at that point, we were kind of really nervous and kind of self-quarantined before we were even told to.
At what point did you start playing the game once you guys joined the club?
Pretty much immediately. Like, we got out there the first few months, I was like, I'm not going out on the course. I need to just hit these balls and practice, because I don't like looking like a fool. I mean, I don't think anybody does, but for me especially, I think like my biggest drive in sports is to not look dumb. And, you know, I want to be great at it. I want people to look at me and be like, wow. So, you know, it was a struggle.
For the listeners, I encourage you to go over to Jessica's Instagram and check her out. Now, she's only been playing since 2020. You never would have known by looking at your swing, just checking out some of the videos that you've posted, and just all the things that you've done, as far as you're a fanatic.
I am.
I mean, it's cool to see somebody jump into the game like that. I mean, you're creating all these different tools. I saw the weight shift thing that you made. And I was like, that's genius. I never thought about that. I'd never seen that before. So what was it about the game that made you fall in love with it?
I think the thing about team sports, which I do love, but I think the thing about it is that you can get caught up in blaming your teammates for things, or, you know, refs or whatever. And for me, I liked that I could just do this by myself, that I didn't have to be with anyone to do it. I can kind of just have, being a stay-at-home mom for 12 years, like, you really are short on time alone. And I think my husband's support allowed me to go out there. And it was like the first time that I was just able to be in my own headspace, do this for myself, because I've taken on a lot of different hobbies, you know, being here at the house all the time. I've done so many different things, and golf seems to be the only thing that I have actually stuck with and have stayed consistent with. And I think it's just the sport. I mean, you see it on Instagram. I mean, all the memes and stuff. It gets in your head. And I think it's something that you could always strive to be better at, you know? Even if you have a good score, you know, you beat a team and you're happy to beat a team. And you're not like, next time I'm going to beat them by, you know, 10 more points. But with golf, you're competing almost against yourself. Like, you're always striving for that better score. And I think that's the thing about it, is that it's like a relationship with yourself, a battle with yourself. And if you have the will and the determination, you keep going.
Yeah, it's an interesting sport. Like I say, people that don't play the game don't realize how much of a mental sport it is. Because you stand over that golf ball, and I swear to God, you have a book running through your head.
It's even worse when you have people telling you everything you're doing wrong in videos, like things that you didn't even think were a problem. You start like, oh, I'm swaying. I didn't know I was swaying. Okay, another swing thought, you know.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I crack up at a lot of the advice that you get on Instagram.
It's, you know, I am like on this like teeter totter of emotions when it comes to tips. I get it. Like, I get it. I appreciate that people are involved and they want to help me get better. I just don't think they understand. Like, I see those problems myself. Like, I know that I'm not perfect at golf. Like, this is, in no way do I think I'm showing people perfect golf swings. I'm showing you my progress. And just because I posted doesn't mean I'm like, ooh, job's done, I'm great. Like, no, I've seen the same problems that everyone else is seeing. It's just so many tips they get in your head, I already have enough swing thoughts of my own. I watch so much golf that I know I see the same things, you know, everyone else is seeing. So, you know, at some points I'm like really nice about it. I'm like, oh, thanks for the tips, guys, you know? And on other moments at home, I'm rolling my eyes like, you kidding me? Like, I know. But, you know, it's all in.
I was just going through some of your posts and I was reading the comments and I was just cracking up. And it was mostly your response to a lot of them, because I could tell that you were like, okay, guys, enough.
Right.
I get it.
I mean, like in my direct messages, like I'll get so many messages because I guess they're like, if I don't post it in the, you know, in the feed or whatever, then I will just send her a direct message. And I'm like, you know, it's really hard because I am a very nice person and I do take it all in and I do understand. It's just emotionally sometimes it gets defeating because I'm like, I know, you know, I know it's not perfect. And to be told all the time that I'm not doing it perfect, that's hard for me because I do, like, I aspire to be really good at whatever it is that I'm doing. And I just get these constant reminders that you're not there yet. And, you know, I think that's also a bit part of my fuel.
Like I said, from what I've seen, you're head first, all in.
Yeah.
You have all the training aids, it looks like. You've created, I think you have a net in your garage.
Yeah, I converted it. I converted the garage.
Okay.
We had so many ideas for this garage, and it was going to be a home working space for my husband. It was going to be the kids' hangout spot. I said, forget you kids, you don't keep anything clean. Like, I'm going to take this realm. It's going to be my realm. And it's kind of my my place of peace where I can go and not even have to worry about being out at the range and getting tips there. So,
yeah. How did you come up with the idea for the weight shift for that you made?
You know, I didn't come up with that idea. I had actually seen this a few times on Instagram, but I have a swing coach. He helps me more with my long drive stuff, but he's an amazing coach all around for golf. His name's Pat Carroll. And he had this board. He had me, you know, use it in a lesson. He was like, let's see what your weight shift looks like to give you a good idea, you know, of how well you're doing it. And I've swung on it in my video, which probably isn't the best thing to do. I think, you know, not to hit a ball, but to just swing and practice swing. But, he had this idea, or he had seen this idea, and he explained to me, like, you know, he's helped college players with it who thought everything was perfect. And then they get on that board and they're like, oh, shoot, my weight isn't great. My weight shift is not good. Yeah,
that's a great idea. I saw that and I was like, oh, shit, why didn't I think of that? That's a great idea. I'd never seen it before.
Oh,
and I could see where it definitely would help.
Yeah.
You know, so kudos for you. And not only did you use it, but you built it yourself, which was even more impressive. So,
I mean, I did like to build things. Like before this, I built a fence to secure our property and I built my planter boxes because I was into gardening before this. So building stuff, that was one of my other hobbies before this.
Now, I mentioned in the intro that you were the NorCal long distance champ.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So, you know, Instagram is a great place for people to reach out to you. And I had someone reach out who was local and asked me if I wanted to do a long drive. He was just getting it established because with amateur long drive, which is the league, the whole thing, they basically had no NorCal division. So he started this and I was one of the first women along with my friend Caitlin. We decided we'd go out together and do it. And she played golf in high school. So her and I have played together. We both hit like this about the same distance. So we're like, let's do this. And we're each other's competition. We're the first two to do it. And, you know, the first time we did it, we hit so great. I mean, I think she hit in the first set like 280 something. And I was like, oh, hell, like, there's no way I'm, like, beating that. Like, I hit, like, 230 out, you know, on the course. That was probably about my farthest. But the second round, because you get two sets. So the second set, I hit my 298. And I was in shock that even happened. Like, I, you know, I don't honestly think, too, you know, we do it out in Davis. and it is not a super grassy area. So we get a decent, I think, amount of roll out there.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, once I did that, it was kind of, it's kind of addicting to try to hit the ball as far as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you still compete in that?
League itself for ALD is, I don't think it starts again until like next year.
Okay.
But I plan on to keep doing it. Kevin Muldrown runs the league and he's amazing. I mean, he just gives us so many opportunities. You know, he just puts together a really good league. Everyone there is very welcoming. It's just for the camaraderie and, you know, being able to be around other people and not be so serious. You know, like golf is, you're trying to score, you're on every hole. Everyone loves driving, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
You get to smack the ball as hard as you can and it's kind of an adrenaline rush, so.
For sure. Now, you mentioned about golf being kind of boring and I have to ask, especially looking at your Instagram, would you consider yourself an influencer?
You know, that's such a funny term to me because like, I don't personally feel like I'm influencing anyone. Like, people have given me kind messages and said that I have, but I just, you know, I look at it as entertainment. Like, I feel like I can be pretty entertaining. And if I am influencing anyone, that's amazing to me because I've been so influenced by so many other people.
Well, maybe let me use term, maybe ambassador. I'll call you an ambassador of the sport.
Okay.
Because you're definitely doing a great job promoting the sport. And it's nice to see that, especially for someone of our color to take to the game the way you have in such a short time. That's awesome. You know, so I would say that you're an influencer or ambassador.
Yeah.
Now, on that same note, I got to ask, because you've been posting a lot about them. Are you an ambassador for PXG?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. Okay. You know, I mean, I got my clubs. I did not pay for them. But, you know, PXG has been a very kind company to me. And I enjoyed their products. Like, I had seen them around prior. Mm-hmm. But at that point, I had never thought anyone would be interested in, you know, giving me anything like that. So, you know, this whole Instagram thing is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but you do it good though. You do it very well, and it shows in your following. It shows in, you know, all the interaction that you get, and for PXG to reach out to you like that, obviously you're doing something right. So keep doing what you're doing because I mean I can see it taking you, you know, far places. So just continue at it and keep being yourself. That's another thing I like about your content. You are yourself. There was a couple of times, I think it was one video I saw where you hit it thin across the green. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you said motherfucker.
Oh, I most definitely said that. That's my word. I try not to curse that much when I'm out there. It's not the most ladylike thing for me to do, but I have a small mouth and there are plenty of videos of me saying all sorts of things, but
it is what it is, you know, and I think that's what makes your content interesting because you're being you. You know?
That's really all I can do because I can't keep up and act. Like, I mean, I'm not an actor, you know, I'm just going to give you what I have and that's all I can do. If people like it, then they like it. If they don't, then, you know, they don't have to follow.
Yeah. I saw a quote. I can't remember where I saw this at, but it was a quote that you made about golf fashion. And it said, I find as many ways as possible not to wear traditional golf clothes. Do you remember that? What was that about?
I do remember that. I just don't like golf clothes. Like, I mean, it's a struggle for me to find stuff that I like. I like the mock turtlenecks and I try to go on Amazon and buy things that I think would, you know, work well for golfing. But honestly, I hate polos. I hate them. I hate having to wear a collar. If I could wear a tank top and a skirt, I would be so happy. But, you know, a lot of these clubs have these antiquated rules that I guess, you know, I don't like it. So, you know, if I could wear, you know, athleisure, that would be my go-to, but yeah. You know, I have to follow the rules, but I wish that they would change a little bit, you know, of golf fashion for people to make it more, I guess, athletic and less of this stuffy sort of old school, you know, mindset. Because I even think the men, you know, want to be able to wear things that they're comfortable in and things that show their personality instead of everyone kind of out there dressed the same.
Yeah, I think it's changing a little bit. I think Flowers has changed it a little bit. Ricky was probably one of the first to come in and start adding the color and everything. But I think it's starting to change a little bit, you know. But I think as more and more young people get into the sport, I think you'll start to see that definitely change. And you're even starting to see it a little bit on the tour itself. You know, a lot of the guys are wearing the cuff pants that, you know, like the, what do you call them? The sweatpants type with the cuffs around the bottom.
Oh, joggers.
Joggers. Yeah. You can tell I'm old. But, you know, I've seen a couple of players, you know, wear that. And, you know, so it's changing a little bit. But I agree, you know, it's my kids always tease me about the black, the brown, and the gray.
But yeah, I know.
It is.
My husband
is.
Teases me about color too. I mean, if I had my choice, I'd be wearing like basically just black. I mean, I do have my choice. That sounds like I don't, but you know, I get teased about always wearing black and white. So I had to add some color into my wardrobe. But I will say that my club has let me get away with a few things that I didn't think that I would be able to get away with. There have been some hemlines that have been questionable that I've been, you know, I've gotten away with. But I'm tall. It's really hard for me to find skirts that are long enough, you know, for me. And I have a butt. And these shorts, the shorts that they make underneath, they're, I don't know who they're made for. They're not made for me. But
do you get some dirty looks sometimes at the club?
Luckily, I'm a really friendly person. Okay. So we've made a lot of friends at our club.
Okay.
And I have had no complaints from anyone. Most of the ladies there are really nice. They keep asking me to join the women's league. And I really do intend to. I just keep putting it off. And now that I've got these new clubs, I'm like, oh, let me just learn these clubs a little bit more so I don't look like a fool out there. And then I'll join.
Yeah. We
have some great ladies in our league.
Have you established your handicap yet?
You know, honestly, I have not. Okay. People ask me that all the time. And it's not for any reason besides that. One, I got so into long drive that I wasn't really playing as much. Mm-hmm. So I was really focusing on my driving abilities. Okay. And because of that, the last, you know, 5 months, my regular game had suffered where I was just starting, you know, to get consistent. And then I went deep into long drive. So now I've got new clubs. I'm going to focus on being an all around player. But yeah, I haven't got that done. I don't want to see it fully. I make it up in my head and I usually make it a lot worse than it is. My husband's like, what's wrong with you? Why do you think you're that? I have all the cards. I just need to turn them in.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to know, you know?
What's been your best round?
I don't know. I scored 92.
Okay.
And I was out there by myself, which I think I must have ADD or something, because when I'm out there with anybody, like my distraction level, like I want to talk, I want to chat, you know, and I really need to just keep my mouth shut and focus on what it is I'm about to do. So I went and did that by myself. On that round, I actually went and played the back nine with 3 gentlemen who were behind me. It was a backed up day. So I just asked them to come and join me. And that was probably, that was definitely the best round I had played. So, you know, I've come to the conclusion that if I play with my husband, it's usually going to be the worst round. But I did beat him on 9 holes. He told me, there's no way you're going to beat me. And I did.
Is driving the strongest part of your game?
Driving definitely is the strongest point of my game. I have developed a bad little fade approaching slice. So I think it might be because with long drive, I did lower the loft on my driver. Okay. And prior, when I was hitting it farther, I had a higher lofted, had it at the higher setting of around 10, So 11 right now, I have it at 9. I'm thinking I might go back to 10 just to try to see if that changes anything and helps with the problem that I have developed. Because long drive a little bit changes, you know, your swing, if you, especially if you're not, I didn't have a fully developed swing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, trying to hit the ball as far as you can develop, you know, some bad habits, which I'm trying to fix.
I can definitely see how that could start to creep into your game, picking up some of those habits. What's the weakest part of your game?
I would have said putting a while ago, but I did fix that. I would say the weakest part of my game is probably like in the middle.
Okay.
Like between, you know, 200 yards out to about, once I get to 100, I'm pretty good because I'm pretty good with my wedges. Mm-hmm. But small chips, like the closer chips, I'm pretty bad at those. if I'm join only, like, you know, like 10, like... Yeah, right. I scold those things and send them across the green, and that's when like the motherfucker comes out and all that stuff. So, you know, it is what it is. I can't get everything right, but I can try to, you know, get better.
What's been the one shot that you've hit so far that you just constantly brag about?
It's usually a drive, and the one that felt the best was when other people witnessed it. On the weekends, we do get paired up for tee times at the club. Usually we can play just the two of us or go play solo. But on Saturdays, they do pair us up. And I was out with our the rankings. They're a couple that we golf with. And I hit this drive and I probably came within like 50 yards of the green. And they were like, that is the best drive we've seen on this hole. So, you know, it made me feel really good. That's usually, it's usually a drive. There's a hole that I love. I think I posted, it's a hole set where it, I guess, dog leg, right? And, oh my gosh, it's perfect because if I aim straight, I'll end up just on the left side of the fairway. But if it turns into like a fade, then I end up on the right side of the fairway because of the nature of the hole. So all I do is I try to hit it far. And usually I'm like within 75 yards of the green. And that is my favorite hole. Like I look forward to that one because usually, you know, it works out really well for me.
We all have that one hole that just kind of fits our eye, you know, so it sounds like that's yours.
Yeah, it definitely is.
What's your bucket list course?
You know, I haven't really thought about too many other courses. I mean, of course, Pismo is on the list just because, I mean, we're pretty close. So I would love to go there. But with kids and everything, like trying to schedule these golf outings that we would stay overnight, it's a little bit more challenging. Yeah. Just because we haven't really gone and stayed in too many hotels with, you know, everything going on. I anticipate next year I will start to visit more courses outside of, you know, my local area. But like we have a few trips planned, like to Mexico. I forgot the name of this resort, but it has an amazing course. I cannot remember where it is. But anyways, I have some golf traveling plans.
Nice. I'll actually be out in California in January. Me and three of my buddies, we're going to Pebble Beach. We've been talking about it for damn near 15 years about going to play it. So we finally just said, look, we're not getting any younger. Let's just go do it. So yeah, we'll be out there in January for, I think it's 3 or 4 days we'll be playing.
You know what? I said Pismo and I meant Pebble. I don't know why I said Pismo. I did not know why that was on my mind. But now, see, that's how new I am to golf. Like,
but you know what, though? That's,
oh my goodness.
Why I started this podcast, because as I say in the introduction, I want everyone from the weekend player to the CEO of the Black-owned golf companies and everybody in between, because I think that there's so many different stories around this game and from the people that play it. And we all have a different introduction to the game. We all respond to the game differently. We all have a different level of passion for the game. And I think someone like yourself who's new to the game, and to have the type of passion that you have for it in such a short time, is contagious. And that's why I want to get people like yourself an opportunity to be seen and heard. I mean, you're doing a good job on your own with your Instagram and everything, but you know, the more platforms we can show for people of color that are passionate about this game, the more it can help the game, you know? So it's for you, you know,
right.
Even just saying like the, you know, the wrong name of the course, that's the beauty in having an amateur or someone that's not a professional or something like that on the podcast. And that's why I wanted to create this to give people such as yourself a platform to come on and share your story. And I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on and do that. Just one more question real quick. What do you see yourself at in 5 years in terms of playing this game?
Hopefully a lot better. But honestly, I'm a social golfer. Like I don't plan on trying to go pro or anything like that. I want to, you know, win some golf tournaments, local, like my country club. I really am just socially golfing, and that's kind of what I enjoy doing. The long drive stuff, you know, I'll take it as far as it'll take me, and I'll put in the work that I need to put in. But I have learned that I really don't need to put so much pressure on myself, because I build things up too much and then I kind of just sabotage myself. So I don't have a lot of expectations, you know. In 5 years, I hope that my kids are much better at golf than I am. And we have them in lessons. So, I mean, you know, I'm doing this for myself right now, but really ultimately I am hoping to have my kids, you know, have this deeper interest in the sport, which is happening. They're becoming competitive with each other, which is great. Most people don't want to hear their kids fighting, but for me, them fighting about who did the best or who's the best at golf, like I love it. I love hearing that from them, because they have not had that fire in anything that we've put them in. So, you know, I hope to, you know, just get my handicap down. I would love to be somewhere around, you know, a 4 handicap, you know, in 5 years. We'll see, you know, if it's doable. But I'm trying not to place too many, you know, milestones. But I'm just not trying to, you know, build it up too much for myself right now.
Yeah, just enjoying the game and learning the game. That's awesome. Yeah. I've mentioned it several times, your Instagram. If you can do me a favor, please, if you don't mind sharing your handle so people can go over and check you out and see what you have going on.
It's at I'm Jess Golfing, J-E-S-S. So I am J-E-S-S-G-O-L-F-I-N-G.
Awesome. Is that the only platform you're on?
I do have a TikTok. It has the same handle, but I don't really invest with TikTok too much. Commenters on there are crazy. So I kind of just try to take the negativity out of my life. And TikTok has seemed to be one of those very volatile places in my experience.
Well, listen, guys, I'm going to put links down to her IG down in the show notes. So please go over and check her out and see all the amazing things she's doing. As far as sharing and spreading the word about this great game that we all love. Any last words before we get out of here, Jessica?
You know, I don't have any last words. The only thing that came into mind, and I think it's because DJ Khaled has put it in my head so many times, let's go golfing.
That's a good place to end it right there. Everybody grab those clubs and let's go golfing. Jessica, again, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on and join me on the podcast. Guys, again, please go over and follow this young lady. Check out what she has going on. And as you all know, this is just episode number 4. We are not going anywhere. We are going to be here spreading the word and shining some light on other amateur golfers such as Jessica. And please go over whatever platform you're listening to the podcast on. Please leave a review, follow us. That's how the podcast gets recognized by the algorithms from all these different platforms. And I appreciate you guys. Keep hitting them straight, and I'll see you guys all on the next episode. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.